Okay, we are doing Megillah, and we are up to Daf Hei Amud Beis. And the Gemara began with a quote. So let's reread the quote. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Elazar quoted in the name of Rabbi Chanina the following occurrence that happened. Now, we have to note that this is not a brisa. Even though we are quoting something that occurred in the Tanaic period, it is a quote. Something happened. And they're quoting it thus. A rabbi is quoting it thus. That gives it the weight of a rabbi quoting something that happened in the Tanaic period. If it would say, Tanu Rabbanon, then we know that this occurrence was recorded and validated by an academy. We don't have that. We have one rabbi quoting another rabbi who quotes that this happened. So we take that into account. We're going to learn many halachos from it. But we also have to know that this isn't a braisa. And there is a difference in the weight of something quoted by an individual rabbi as opposed to something quoted in a braisa, as opposed to something quoted in a braisa that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshaya, as opposed to something quoted in a Mishnah. Those are levels. Okay? Levels of halachic weight. So this was a quote, Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, quoted that Rabbi planted a planting on Purim, washed himself in the market day in the city of Tzipori in public on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and seeked to uproot the fast of the ninth of Av. We saw different understandings as to what does that mean. Does it mean when the fast falls out on Shabbos? Does it mean to take away some of its stringencies? That was our discussion last week. Now, the Gemara is going to further analyze this occurrence. The Rebbe. Heichi natan itia bepurim. How was Rebbe able to plant a planting on Purim? Remember we discussed nitiya is a planting, meaning a sapling. You could be notea, you could plant an older tree, or you could plant a young tree, right? So natan nitiya means he planted a young sapling, he planted a young tree on Purim. How could he do that? Ve'atani Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef taught the following Tanoic quote. It says in the verse that Purim was instituted as Simcha Umishte V'Yom Tov, happiness, partying, and the holiday. Simcha, happiness, Melamechas V'Mesped, that teaches us that one is prohibited from eulogizing on Purim. Mishte, day of party, day of drinking, Melamechas Ubtanit, that teaches us you can't fast on Purim, right? You have to party. Party, I'm using the term loosely. Doesn't mean like they say today to party. V'yom tov, and the holiday, melamecha subas yad menacha. That teaches us that Purim is prohibited from doing work like a yom tov. That's what it says in the verse. They wanted to institute Purim as a happy party of a yom tov, that you cannot do work. So the Gemara asks, if this is the quote from Rabbi Yosef, then how could Rebbe possibly plant on Purim? Right? Planting is one of the 39 Avos Melachos, one of the things that were prohibited from doing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Answers the Gemara, El Abad, it's not the way you thought. Rebbe Bar Abeser Havi, Rebbe used to celebrate Purim on the 14th, he lived in a regular city. He planted his planting on the 15th, which in the regular cities is not a holiday. That's Shushan Purim. It's only a holiday in the walled cities. Eini or Eini, two types of questions, spelt the same way. Is that really so? Wait a second. Rebbe lived in the city of Tiberias, right? In Tiberiov. Tiberias is walled since the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the Talmud says. So Tiberias celebrates Purim on the 15th. So what do you mean Rebbe used to celebrate on the 14th and he planted his planting on the 15th? Ela, but no, let's mix that. Whenever we have Ela, means we're uprooting what we said until now, we're giving a different answer. Ela, but Rebbe bar chamei sarave. Rebbe used to celebrate Purim on the 15th. And you know when he did this planting? He planted it on the 14th. Okay? So now everything works well. On Purim, you don't turn on lights. You don't plant things. You don't harvest things. You don't do work on Purim. And when did Rebbe plant his tree? He planted it on the 14th, and he celebrated Purim on the 15th. So, let's skip. We're going to skip about six lines. Mi shari. Is it really permitted? V'achtiv b'megillat ta'anit. You have the first word on the line is ta'anit. But it's written in Megillas Tanis, and we'll explain what that is for now. We'll quote it like a brisa. It says, et yom abasa v'et yom hamishasa, the following days, the 14th and 15th of Adar, yom puraya inun, those are days of Purim, delon mispit behom. You cannot eulogize. V'amar Rava, and Rava says, why are these 2 days listed in Megillas Tanis? Lo nitzcha le'esot shezeh zevet shezeh zeh. That's coming to teach us that the both days are prohibited on both, meaning those that celebrate the 14th are prohibited from doing work on the 15th. Those who celebrate on the 15th are prohibited from doing work on the 14th. Everyone's prohibited on both days. That's why it has to say both days. We know the 14th and 15th. It says it in the Megillah. Why does it have to say Megillas Tanis? The 14th and 15th are days you don't eulogize, to tell me that both the 14th and the 15th apply to everyone in this regard. The Gemara says, wait a second, Hani Minibestedu Tanit. When do we say that they apply to everyone? That everyone's prohibited from eulogizing or fasting. Even if you only celebrate on the 14th, you can't eulogize or fast on the 15th. Even if you only celebrate on the 15th, you can't eulogize or fast on the 14th. That's all it means. Aval Mlacha Yom Echad V'Tulov. But to do work, they only instituted 1 day. If you're off on the 14th, you could do work on the 15th. If you celebrate on the 15th, you could do work on the 14th. So we're back to our question. So what's wrong if Rebbe did work, if he did a planting on the day he wasn't celebrating? The Gemara says, Aini, really? You want to tell me that on the day you don't celebrate Purim, you could do work? Rav, the disciple of Rebbe, Rav, who is the leader of the Jews, he saw a man planting his wool, planting his flax. Kitna is not flax or wool. It's not cotton either. I forgot the word for it in English. He saw a man planting some type of material. I don't remember. Flax. He saw a man planting flax. Kutna in modern Hebrew is cotton. Kitna in the Talmud is flax. He saw a man planting flax on Purim. Velatye. So he cursed. Said, curse. Right? He cursed the guy planting it. Velot samach kitne. And the flax didn't grow. Hatam bayome ave. The Gemara says, so what's the question? Maybe that was the real McCoy. That was his day of Purim. So the Gemara at this point is saying, you know, you can't do work on the day of Purim, but on the day that you don't celebrate, if you're in a walled city, you celebrate the 15th. On the 14th, you could do work. If you celebrate the 14th, on the 15th, you could do work. So Rebbe was from Tveria. You know when he planted his planting? On the 14th. He celebrated Purim on the 15th, and he planted his planting on the 14th. That's okay. Rabbi Breder of Oma, Afilu Teima Biyomei. Rabbi, the son of Rabbi, tells us. You could even say Rebbe planted it on his day of Purim. Esped V'tani Kabilu Alayu. When the Jews accepted the institution of Purim, they said, Rabbis, okay, we won't fast on Purim. Okay, you say we shouldn't eulogize on Purim, we won't do that either. Melacha lo Kabilu Alayu. But rabbis, you're telling us we can't work on Purim. No, that we don't accept. The people vetoed that. We have a rule. When the rabbis make an institution, for the first period of time, they don't reveal the reasons behind the institution. They first say, we declare you must do this. Because if you start explaining to people why, they'll second guess you. You tell a person, we don't want you to touch a pen on Shabbos because you're going to come to write. He says, me? You kidding? I wouldn't write on Shabbos. My life depended on it. Puts the pen in his pocket and says, yeah, the rabbi said, but I'm okay, I know. Come on, how many times do people do that? The rabbis say, daven Maariv as early as possible. People say, I won't forget. I'm just taking a little nap. I'm okay. Next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. You miss saying Shema at night. You miss saying Maariv at night. So whenever the rabbis make an institution, they don't tell you why. First, they let a period pass. This is how you have to behave. We said so, period. If you were big enough to know the reason, you'd have been there when we made the institution. You weren't there, tough noogies. This is the institution. Time passes, people realize this is the way you're supposed to lead their lives, then fine. Then the rabbis tell you why. But here, the rabbi said, we're instituting a new holiday, Purim. The people said, beautiful. The rabbi said, no work on Purim. The people said, not beautiful, we're not doing that. And people have veto power, even in other institutions. If everyone would say, we're not keeping this institution, it wouldn't work. You know, Hillel and Shammai tried to institute Netilas Yadayim, the way we wash our hands. The people didn't accept it. They didn't buy into it. So Hillel and Shammai tried. They said, everyone has to wash their hands. Everyone has to wash their hands. No one listened. They made these declarations. They put up signs all over. They taught it in their speeches. And the people didn't buy into it. So the institution flopped. It didn't exist. The people have veto power. Halacha is defined by the people. So when we make institutions, we try to get the people to abide. One of the ways is we don't give them the reasons behind the institution so fast. We wait for them to accept it, and after they're used to doing it, we start explaining to them what it's all about. Here, where they instituted Purim, so the people said, you want us not to fast? Fine. You want us not to eulogize? Fine. You want us to read the Megillah? Fine. You want us to give Mishloach Manos? Fine. You want us to give charity? Fine. You want us to party? Fine. You want us to have meals? Okay. You want us not to work? Nope. There, no one listened. Everyone still went to work on Purim. People continued turning on their lights, cooking their food, doing everything like a weekday. So this already happened in the time of Mordechai and Esther. And Rabba, the son of Rabba, is going to prove it. So he says, you could even say, afilu tema beyome. You could even say that Rebbe planted the planting on its day, on the day that he was celebrating Purim. Why? Esped v'tanit kabilu alayu, the institution that the rabbi said Purim is prohibited from eulogizing or fasting, that the people accepted upon themselves. Melacha lo kabilu alayu, but the prohibition to do work that the people did not accept. How do I know that? The Mikar Aktiv, initially when it says the rabbis instituted, it said they instituted Simcha, day of happiness, Umishte, day of party, the Yom Tov. And we know, what does Yom Tov teach us? No work, right? Ulvasov Aktiv, and then it says, it initially says that the rabbi sent out a message, they told everyone, this is what we're instituting, a day of Simcha, Mishta, Yom Tov. And then it says, a few psukim later, Vikibel Ayudim, and the Jews accepted, what did they accept? Lasot Otam, to make these days, Yemei Mishter Simcha, days of partying, days of happiness. Vilu Yom Tov Lokti, doesn't say they accepted the Yom Tov. So you see, even in the times of Mordechai and Esther, they didn't accept the Yom Tov part of Purim. They said, we're not stopping to do work, and their veto stood. Mordechai and Esther, they succeeded most of the way. They had Yom Tov with everything they wanted, except for Yom Tov, except for the prohibition of doing work. Well, wait a second. If that's so, then how come Rav cursed the guy when he was planting his flax, right? So why did Rav curse that man? Answers the Gemara, that man lived in a town where the custom was they did not do work on Purim. Now we have a rule. Devarim ha-mutarim, things that are permitted. Ve'achirim na'agu ve'em isu, but others have the custom to treat it as prohibited. You are not permitted to indicate to them that it is permitted. Rabbi Gamliel's two sons came to a town. They went to the mikvah. The whole town was in uproar. You guys don't know. You're the sons of the chief rabbi. Shouldn't you know that two brothers don't go into the mikvah together? The halacha is that a son doesn't go with his father, a student doesn't go with the disciple, a son-in-law doesn't go with his father-in-law. No, that's prohibited. It's considered immodest. But two brothers are allowed to go to the mikveh together. Well, Rabbi Gamliel's two sons put their stuff away, and they didn't get up and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, let us inform you, the halacha is that you are permitted to let two brothers go to the mikveh together." Nope, they didn't say that. They got out of the mikveh, they went out, and then they went one at a time, and they didn't tell them it's mutter. Why? Things that are permitted halachically, and other people treat them as prohibited, you are not allowed to show them that it is permitted. Don't get involved. If that's the custom in this town, respect it. There's another story in the Tosefta in Moed Katan about Rabbi Gamliel's two sons. What was it? Just a second. Tosefta here. I don't know how they put together this Gemara, where the Tosefta is. Here we go. It says in the Tosefta, yeah. They had benches in front of the non-Jewish shops in Akko. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, he was walking in Akko, and he needed to rest, so he sat down on the bench in front of the non-Jewish shop. The people of Akko were in uproar. Rabbi Gamliel, don't you know you're not allowed to sit in front of the shop? People will think you're buying from his bread. People will think you're eating at his restaurant. What are you sitting at the McDonald's at the McDonald's bench? Rabbi Gamliel didn't get up and tell him, guys, you know, it's permitted to sit on this bench. This is a public bench out here. Just because it's in front of a non-Jew shop doesn't mean I can't sit here. He didn't do that. He got up and walked and found himself another bench. Things that are permitted. But you have an area where people treat it as prohibited. We don't start making a mess and telling them, no, you guys should know, really, it's okay. We don't do that. We are not allowed to tell them to do different than the way they do. Provided that they have a rabbi, provided that it's an area that has a custom. It's not just one wacko. We had a guy in Machon Meir who went to take a shower with his yarmulke on. So other people saw him and they figured, gee, I guess the pious thing is to go to the shower with your yarmulke on. So people started going to the showers with their yarmulke on. Then one guy asked me in class, how obligatory is it to wear your yarmulke in the shower? I said, you don't wear your yarmulke into the shower. But some people do. I said, no, only in Machon Meir. Okay, this isn't the locale in Machon Meir. But if you're in an area, if you're in a city, if you're in a town, that's the custom. Even if it's permitted, we don't come and tell them it's permitted. So Rav saw this individual in a city where the custom was they did not do work on Purim. We just explained that Purim is permitted. You're permitted to do work on Purim. Along comes this guy and he says, I'm going to do what I know is right. I'm going to plant my flax on Purim. Rav sees that he's going against the custom of the town. So that's why Rav cursed him and his flax didn't grow. That's what the Gemara answers. This was something that, even though it is technically permitted, but others had the custom that it is prohibited, and that's why he cursed him. But in Rebbe's town, they did not have the custom to prohibit work on Purim. And then the Gemara gives one more answer, but first we have to make up the lines that we skipped. Yes, sir.
Does that apply to groups, or just, you said it applies to groups, but can it apply to individuals, or like a specific family, or, you just said like maybe some one guy does whatever, but say one, a couple families do it.
Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. It wouldn't be this rule exactly, but it might be identical rules. And this rule applies to a location, to a town, to an area. I don't think this rule would apply to a family, but there are identical rules that might apply to the family. Okay, so now let's reread the Gemara and fill in the lines that we skipped. But this was a long-winded Gemara, so let's review it outside, then we'll review it inside. The Gemara began by asking, how did Rebbe plant the planting on Purim? It says Simcha, it says Yom Tiv. Purim was instituted as a Yom Tiv, prohibited from doing work. So the Gemara said, well, maybe it wasn't Rebbe's day for celebrating. Initially, the Gemara said maybe it was on the 15th. Then the Gemara said, actually, Rebbe lived in Tveria. They should celebrate on the 15th. So the Gemara says, okay, so he planted it on the 14th. Fine. The lines we skipped, the Gemara is going to say, well, who said that Tveria should celebrate on the 15th? The Gemara is going to question that point. But that wasn't relevant, though, so we skipped that. That's what we'll throw in now. So the Gemara says, so Rebbe was planting on the day that wasn't his day of Purim, meaning he was in Tveria that celebrated on the 15th and he did his planting on the 14th. So the Gemara said, but wait a second, it says in Megillas Tanis that the 14th and 15th are both days that you don't eulogize. And Rava said the reason the Brice has to tell me these 2 days is to tell me that even if it's the day you don't celebrate, the prohibitions apply to you. So even though Rebbe didn't celebrate the 14th, the prohibitions of the 14th apply. So the Gemara said, yeah, which prohibitions? The prohibitions to be sad, the prohibition to eulogize or fast, but it doesn't mean that the prohibition of doing work applies both days. The Gemara said, what do you mean the prohibition of doing work doesn't apply both days? Then how come Rav cursed the guy that was planting his flax on Purim? The Gemara says, must be, it was that day, that was his Purim. So that was the first answer. So the first answer was that Rebbe planted on the day that was not his holiday. He celebrated the 15th, and he did his planting on the 14th, and you're only prohibited from doing work one day. The second answer the Gemara gave was the answer of Rabba, the son of Rava, and he said that the Jews never accepted the prohibition to do work. It says the rabbis tried to institute a Yom Tov, but when it says what was actually accepted, it says what was accepted was rejoicing, was holidays, but it doesn't say that was what that they ever accepted the prohibition to do work. The Gemara says, then why did Rav curse the fellow who was planting on Purim? The Gemara answered, well, that was a town where the custom was that you don't do work on Purim. And this guy was going against the custom. That's why Rav cursed him. But where Rebbe lived, they didn't have such a custom. Where Rebbe lived, everyone did work on Purim, and that's why Rebbe planted his planting on Purim. That's the Gemara we saw till now in a nutshell. Clear? Want to do it one more time outside, or should we go back to inside?
It's you.
Inside? Okay. Says the Gemara, we're back where we started. Rebbe Hechi Natan Netiyah B'Purim, and how did Rebbe plant that planting on Purim? What does Netiyah mean?
What is the word? Chaplain.
Ah, great. Okay. Vehatani Rav Yosef. But Rav Yosef taught a braisa that says, Simcha u'mishteve Yom Tov. The verse says, the rabbi said, we want to institute happiness party in Yom Tov, a good day, a holiday. Simcha, melamed shasurim be'esped. The word simcha teaches me that they prohibited from eulogizing. Mishte, party, drinking, melamed shasur betanit. Teaches me they prohibited fasting on that day. V'yom tov, a holiday, l'met shasur b'siyat nachah. That teaches me they prohibited doing work on Yom Tov. So how did Rebbe plant his sapling on Purim? El Rebbe Baral Besahave. Rebbe was from a town where they celebrated on the 14th. V'chinata b'chamei sonata. And he planted his planting on the 15th. Eini, is that so? V'arebi v'tveria hava. Rebbe lived in Tveria. V'tveria mukef t'chuma mimot Yeshua b'nun avai. And Tveria was walled from the days of Yeshua Binun. El Rebbe Bar Chameis Ahave. You're right. Rebbe celebrated on the 15th. V'chi Natan. You know when he planted his planting? Bar Beisar Ahave. He planted it on the 14th. And now we're up to the lines that we skipped. Was it really so obvious to Rebbe that Tveria was walled from the days of Yeshua Binun? V'hachizkiah, but the rabbi, the Amora named Chizkiah, Kari B'Tveria, he would read the Megillah in Tiberias, V'albeisaru v'chameisar, he'd read it on the 14th and 15th, Mesabgalei, Mukefet Chumam Imot Yeshua Binun, he was in doubt whether the walls of Tveria date back to the days of Yeshua Binun or not. Says the Gemara, okay, L'Chizkiah Mesabgalei, Chizkiah didn't know, L'Rebbe Pshitalei, but Rebbe did know. Okay, so Chizkiah didn't know, but Rebbe knew. And Rebbe only celebrated on the 15th. Those are the lines we skip. Now, we see an interesting point here. If you live in a city where you're uncertain whether that city should celebrate on the 14th or 15th, the Talmud tells us Chizkiyo would read it on both. Well, we have a lot of cities like that here in Israel nowadays. Mm. So the Gemara continues and says, so Rebbe, it was obvious to him that Tveria's walls date back to Yeshua ben Nun. And if it was obvious to him, is he really permitted to do work on the other day? But it says in Megillas Tanis. Now what is Megillas Tanis? So, during the period of the Second Temple, rabbis canonized the Bible, right? So we have 24 books in the Tanakh. Dvarim shebichtav yeta rashai lomram al peh. Things that were given in prophecy to be written, we must read them from the text. We're not supposed to quote them by heart when we're doing it to fulfill an obligation. So when I read Shema, I have to read it from the text. I'm fulfilling an obligation. If I want to say something on your behalf, I'm going to read from the Torah. And you want, I'm reading for you. Dvarim shebichtav, that's written text. I am reading on your behalf. I have to read it from a text. I'm not allowed to do it by heart. By the same token, it says, Moshe tells the Jewish people, here are the words, V'lamedat b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem, place the words of the oral law in their mouths, Dvarim shebal peh, the oral law, Yatarashai lekotvam, we are prohibited from writing it down. And so, in the period of the Second Temple, they had the Tanakh, the Bible, and there was no other published work of Torah that was publicized. Every person would write his own version of the oral law that he remembered. He'd write down his own note cards, and then he'd hide them in his house, but he wouldn't publish them. Until Rebbe came along, no one overtly published any form of the oral law, because the oral law was given to be said orally. It couldn't be written down. You could write down your notes, and that people would hide in their houses, and that's why it was called Megillat Sitarim. Megillat Sitarim are the Megillas. They'd have these scrolls on which they'd write on the parchment their notes of the oral law and hide them at home. That's why it's called Sitarim, the hidden Megillas, because you wouldn't publicize it. You wouldn't even learn from it. If you'd have to check what you remember, you looked at your notes, and after that, that was it. So far, so good? Okay. The rabbis saw that they were having miracle after miracle. They'd have 94 scuds land, and no one would get hurt. And they'd say, we have to celebrate this. This is amazing. You know how many miracles we're having here? So the rabbis started instituting in the period of the Second Temple all kinds of holidays. They saw that they had miraculous victories time after time. They had this little group of people, and they had the most powerful army of that time. And this little group of people overtook them, and then they came into the temple and they found a little flask of oil, and it lasted for 8 days and 8 nights. They instituted a holiday. They called it Hanukkah. Hanukkah, you guys heard of that, right? Okay, but there were other holidays just like that. And there were so many holidays for each month that they compiled the work. In that work, they summarized the holidays. And the holidays that the rabbis instituted, be it Purim or Hanukkah, be it all the other holidays, which number maybe 100. Figure like almost 1 in 3 days they were partying, right? So they didn't really institute parties for these days. Different holidays had different things. Generally, it was just a day that they would denote, God made us a miracle today, we have to give thanks, and we don't eulogize on this day, we don't fast on this day. We'd have a few days like that each month. And they put it together in writing. So this was the only written thing that was published other than the Tanakh. And they called it Megillat Ta'anit. The Megillah of Ta'anit, of when you're not allowed to fast. When don't you fast? When? What days did they prohibit from fasting? What days did they institute fasting? There are also fasts that were instituted there. So many miracles. So many holidays. And then the temple was destroyed. And all those miracles came to an abrupt end. The rabbis declared, Batila Megillat Ta'anit. It's all over. We no longer celebrate Megillat Tanit. We no longer celebrate everything that it says there. God destroyed the temple. All those victories have been wiped out, except for two. Hanukkah and Purim. Those victories last till today. What's unique about them? Good question. I hope you guys will be able to answer that yourself. But the Megillat Tanit, chutz mechanukah v'pur. Except for Hanukkah and Purim, all of Megillat Tanit is irrelevant. It is no longer applicable. But it is something that the rabbis instituted. In the back over there, I think you have it printed. I have copies in my house of Megillat Tanit with commentary. It's like a piece of Talmud. It's a tractate. It was instituted and it was written and published in a period where nothing else was written. It wasn't written by prophets. It wasn't part of the Tanakh. But it was more like a Mishnah. It was more like a Braisa. The rabbis put together the laws, and for whatever reason, they decided that this should be written and published, and everyone should know it. So that's Megillat Tanit. So the Gemara now, in discussing whether both days are prohibited or not, is quoting from this Megillat Tanit. Okay? It says in Megillat Tanit, the rabbis instituted it Yom HaBasa Vet Yom Chamishasa Yom Epuraya Inun. The 14th and 15th of Adar are days of Purim. De lo lemispat behon. That one should not eulogize in them. The Amar Rava, and Rava says, lo nitzacha. We don't need Megillas Tanis to come and tell me the days of Purim. We have Megillas Esther to tell us that. So why does it have to mention these days in Megillas Tanis? It is written there to tell us that each day is prohibited on the other day. Those that celebrate the 14th are prohibited on the 15th. Those that celebrate the 15th are prohibited on the 14th. So how could you tell me Rebbe would celebrate on the 15th and he planted his planting on the 14th? We just said that those who celebrate the 15th are also prohibited on the 14th. Clear? Okay. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili. Those words, that which we said, that each day is prohibited on the other one, that means it's prohibited b'espedu v'tani. It's prohibited to eulogize or fast. Aval melacha yom echad v'tulo. But when it comes to doing work, the rabbis only prohibited one day and no more. Ain't is that so? V'arav chazel ha'ogavro davakasha v'kitna v'puraya. But Rav saw that man planting his flask on Purim v'latye, and he cursed him v'lotzamach kitne, and his flask didn't grow. The Gemara says, what's the question? That was on his day. On his day of Purim. He was planting. That's why Rav cursed him. Okay, so answer number one. Rebbe planted on a day that was not his day of celebrating. Answer number two. Rabba bar Rava Omar. Rabba braid Rava Omar. Rabba the son of Rava. If he is the son of Rava, what should that tell us right away? What changed in the generation of Abaye and Rava? What do we say from the generation of Abaye and Rava onward? Halacha ke bas roi. The halacha is like the latter opinion. Until the generation of Abaye and Rava, we have rules how we rule in halacha, but it depends on who is greater. From the generation of Abaye and Rava onward, from there we have the rule halacha ke bas roi. We go with the latter opinion. The earlier opinions were greater, but the latter opinions were aware of their opinions. We didn't discuss this. We didn't discuss the Taz, the midget, the giant. We didn't discuss it. Okay, you have a midget. He's 3 foot tall. You have a giant. He's a 10-footer. Who can see further? Giant. He can see beyond more trees. He can see beyond more cars. They both have good eyesight. But the giant can see things the midget can't see. The earlier generations are giants. The later generations are midgets. But the earlier generation, the giant, can take the midget, put him on his shoulder, and tell him everything he sees. The earlier generations told us their logic, told us their reasoning, and put us on their shoulders. And that is why, when they look out, you have the giant looking, but there are trees that block the giant's vision and don't block the midget anymore, because he's sitting on the giant's shoulders, and he can see slightly farther than the giant can see. That is us and the earlier generations. Abaye and Rava, from their generation onward, they were like midgets compared to the earlier generations. Each generation became smaller, but they had the privilege that the earlier generations revealed to them the logic behind what they said. And if nonetheless the later generations disagreed with the earlier generations, we say they must have known something that the earlier generations didn't know. And therefore the halacha is going to be like the later generations, not because they're bigger, quite the contrary, right? Okay, so that example of the giant and the midget is either a Bach or a Taz. I don't remember. Okay.
So there's a breaking point where we follow the latter opinion?
Correct. That breaking point is the generation of Abaye and Rava. So if now the Talmud tells us this is the opinion of Rava, the son of Rava, we know that if he's arguing on other opinions that were his predecessors, the halacha is going to be like him. Because he is already the next generation. From his father's generation, from Rava's generation onward, halacha is like the latter opinion. Clear? Okay. So Rabba, the son of Rava, says, "Afilu tema biyomei." You could even say that Revi did the planting on his day of holiday. Esped v'tanit kabilu alayu. They accepted upon themselves the prohibition of eulogizing and fasting. Melacha lo kabilu alayu, but they never accepted the prohibition of doing work. The Mikaraktiv, initially when the rabbis sent out the institution, it says they said this should be a day of Simcha umishtev yom tov, a day of happiness, partying, drinking, and holiday. Ulevasof, and afterwards in the end, when the people accepted it, Ktiv, the verse says, they accepted lasot utam yom umishtev simcha, to make them days of drink, of happiness, vilu yom tov lo ktiv, and it does not say that they accepted it as a holiday to prohibit work. Then Rav, why did he curse that man? Answers the Gemara, Dvarim Amutarim, V'Acherim Nagu Ben Isur Rava. That was a case where, even though it's permitted, others in that locale had the custom to treat it as prohibited. And in Rebbe's locale, they did not have that custom. If you want, I'll tell you a different answer. Lolam Nahuk. Really, over there, the custom was you can't do work on Purim. The Rebbe Nitiyah Shel Simcha Nata. Rebbe planted a unique planting. It wasn't a standard planting. There's a planting that you plant because you want food. There's a planting that you do as part of your work in your field. And then there's an unusual planting which you do as a symbol of rejoicing. Kiditnan, as the Mishnah says, that there's a type of planting which is done specifically for rejoicing, for being happy, and the Talmud will explain that is what's called avunikishan lachim. When you're planting a garden, you're planting a place where you're going to be able to walk for leisurely walks. You're doing it just for pleasure. It's not a planting that's really work. It's a planting which is indicative of happiness. That was permitted on Purim, even where work was prohibited on Purim. And that's where we'll finish off these lines, Bezat Shem, tomorrow, and move onward. Okay, you want to do laws of Shabbat, right?
That's what you guys are up to.